Okay, so here we go. So in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Welcome to Radio Flash, Armada's dedicated electromagnetic defense and security podcast, with your host Tom Withington at the controls. Now, our previous podcast featured Colonel Jeffrey H. Fisher, a European and global security expert and author of the Kurt Nova series of thrillers. Fisher and I talked about the electronic warfare implications of Israel's ongoing war in the Gaza Strip, and this generated significant interest and prompted an old friend of the podcast, Eric Bamford, to get in touch. Now, Eric is the Norwegian Armed Forces Staff Officer for Electronic Warfare and the Association of Old Crows Director of Region 1, which covers Africa, Europe and the Middle East. We were delighted to have Eric on the show last July, and he joins us again on our first Radio Flash of 2024. And today we'll be talking about EW in urban warfare, a subject that Fish and I touched on last time. Eric joins us today from his home in Norway. Eric, a warm welcome to Radio Flash.
Thank you, and it's great fun to be back.
We're delighted to have you back on the show. And let me start by asking you, who comprises the urban operations community of interest across academia in general, but also specifically in the military community?
The US has been big on this from the Institute of Modern Warfare, with John Spencer probably at the head of this research right now. But that's like a mix of a military and academic approach to it. On the purely academic side, you have people like Anthony King, who's just recently, or a couple of years ago, 2022, came out with a brilliant book as well. And I just want to read a quick quote from that book. Urban studies has been trapped in a two-dimensional framework because it has been unwittingly influenced by the way in which states and their security forces have traditionally mapped and controlled the city. And that kind of goes to the heart of what we're going to talk about today.
Taking that in mind, given the sort of literature that is available at the moment, the body of work, if you like, where is electronic warfare sort of situated as far as urban operations are concerned in academic, doctrinal and tactical publications?
So it's mentioned, but it's not mentioned and taken on in a sufficient way. So it's mentioned as part of the toolkit. And a lot of that toolkit has then threads going into the ongoing wars that we've had in Iraq and Afghanistan, especially with where EW then blooms up as a kind of revitalized capability with specifics to the counter RCID battle and then later on in Syria with the counter UAV battle. But it doesn't really get the place in doctrine and tactical publications, neither in NATO, especially where, you know, they did rewrite the ATP 362, the EW and land battle, but it lacks the urban exploration of EW. And that's kind of the problem that we are facing as well, because the threat landscape that we're going to look at a bit later is much more complex, and therefore it actually deserves both specific mentioning, specific emphasis in doctrine, and then even more so in tactical publications. And that's something we need to have to fix.
So how is the sort of urban threatscape different from other environments that we think about?
So it has to do with populace as well. As you go into an area where you have the density of the population is much more compact, and you have more than just the normal two-dimensional level of the battle space, you have actually people talking and communicating in all dimensions, up and down and sideways. So the signal density in itself, and then the density of users of the spectrum, both human and non-human, as we have to include the Internet of Things as well, becomes so much more complex. The signal environment, therefore, is an absolute challenge. And that's even before we start talking about the impact of infrastructure in itself.
It's quite interesting that you mention the sheer saturation of the spectrum in the urban environment, because I was on a course the other day and the moderator asked us at the outset of the course to sit down and write down all of the devices surrounding us that were emitting at that moment. And at first blush, I thought, well, there's probably just the, where I am, just the computer, and that's kind of it. Then you dig into it, and you get things like, obviously, your computer, but there's your cell phone if you've got a tablet, Bluetooth headphones, home management systems, Fitbits. The list was almost endless and truly mind-blowing. So when you think about performing EW that in that sort of environment, it really puts things into perspective, I think.
You mentioned a couple of protocols there as well, or capabilities like Bluetooth. You know, it's a very short range, and that's an EW challenge as well. It's high signal density, but it's short in range. In the urban environment, with exploration or the even saturation of cellular networks, and for every generation of cellular network, the layer of base stations, the infrastructure has become more and more populated. So the distance from you as the user up to that base station, you know, it has just become so short compared to those large cells we experienced and the high output levels we experienced during the first early editions of cellular networks. There's no longer standing in the beam. It is proximity to base station and target, and even within a specific cell that gives you very short notification, short reaction times that we actually need to consider in this battle space.
Don't forget, we've got all those lovely things like multipath as well.
Yeah, and that goes into the built-up area and the kind of totality of the infrastructure as well, where you have street level, you have alleyways that are providing you with a multipath environment based on whatever building materials that all these different houses are made out of. So you can have radar absorbent building materials, and you can have RF super reflective materials as well next to each other that actually impacts on the propagation of signals. And that's just on the two-dimensional level. And then you need to climb up and add on every storage or every section of the house reaching off the flat surface of Earth. So one thing is the very multipathing of this. But then you have the house corners, the hard surfaces that give you refraction, diffraction, and multi-knife edging as well, that breaks the signal off in directions you really do not control. And that has to be exploited. You have to understand this to exploit it. So it is an environment that requires a lot of skills and understanding of the environment itself to be explored to the fullest.
And of course, we've got the subterranean environment as well within there, as Israel's finding out at the moment as it continues operations in Gaza.
The subterranean in Gaza is purposely built by the insurgents or by Hamas to be exploited for military purpose and logistic purpose. But in a large European capital, you have all these subsurface infrastructures that are not purposely built for the military or for military logistics. It is your car tunnels. It is your train or light rail or metro tunnels that zigzag and cross all over the landscape, you know. Take a look at the metro map of Paris or the metro map of London. It is an absolute network in multiple stories that cross back and forth with connecting and disconnecting tunnels. And all of these tunnels actually have its own communications infrastructure, but also a sensor infrastructure. All these tunnels are packed with sensors, anything from CCTV to look for unauthorized access, to CCTV that's looking for geographical changes that provides stress on material, tunnel constructions, and so on. So there's a plethora of RF sensing, RF exploitation, and also communications in these tunnels that we need to understand. And that's just kind of pure communication. And then you have all those other types of tunnels and infrastructures like large construction, sewage, waterways, electrical power grids that are below surface. All of this is something we need to consider. And they all, you know, take away the electrical power, that all affects that subsurface infrastructure as well. And I believe that's what they do in Gaza as well, especially when it comes to the air ventilation shafts that pump fresh air into these long, long, long tunnels, and how that will then suffocate anyone who's trying to operate in those tunnels. So that's not directly part of the RF environment, but again, it will impact the RF environment as well if you take away the power in these tunnels.
From your perspective, what are the general needs regarding urban electronic warfare, and how do we go about satisfying these?
EW in the urban environment might require different capabilities from what you do in rural operations or mountain and forest. It is a different frequency range. HF might not be as relevant as in the forest or in the mountains, or SATCOM might not be as relevant as cellular networks and ability to decode Bluetooth fob keys and all these different things that we've been starting to face in the Afghan and Iraq debacles. There will be a change in capability requirements. But at the same time, it is other stuff that can be done as well to mitigate the lack of capability. And I've put up a short list, I've worked with over time as well, even going back to 2014, this is what we had things that we were working on. And that is EW operations within one's own country, where you actually can be granted authority to access and command telecom providers to support the military effort. And that is actually a unique thing to do, where you can take down the different telecom protocols and capabilities that you cannot control through your military means. Then you have out-of-area operations, where the military or political capability that we provide into the country sets up an interim legislative body and can allow or grant us the same approach as we have in our own nations. And then we have EW operations on foreign ground, where we do not interact with the central government at all and the regulatory authority at the same level. So we will not be able to put into effect these authoritative measures directly onto the, for instance, the cellular network structure. There we will actually have to build up capabilities that allow us to intercept and deny and operate across all the different generations of cellular networks and all those specific RF capabilities that are active in an urban environment. And looking at the pictures from both Gaza and some of the cities in the eastern Ukraine as well, the entire physical layer is just destroyed. It's no longer there. There's no infrastructure to rebuild and retrofit base stations on at all. It becomes more like the rural environment, and you need to stand up and have your full scope of capabilities that are end-to-end and not piggybacking off or exploiting a third-party telecom provider. So it's kind of four different approaches to the capability development for EW and urban operations that needs to be considered. And I'm pretty sure you're going to have a plan to have all these capabilities running in the same time.
Now, Eric, am I right in saying that you are preparing some research yourself on this topic?
I have been working on kind of EW and urban operations on and off. And nationally at the Royal Norwegian Air Force EW course, we do actually do a lecture on EW in the urban terrain and the challenges that we face there. So it is it's a small lecture right now, and it is something that we absolutely are looking into. And we want to look even further and complement all these contemporary works that are being done in academia and on the military side to break with that two-dimensional trap and bring in the entire spectrum part of urban operations, because we think it is important, not just based on what we see after February 22 and what we see now from October 2023. It has been important for quite some time. It has been important all the way going back to NATO's operations in Bosnia, Kosovo, into Iraq and Afghanistan as well. We need a better understanding, and we need some documents that can help the EW practitioner, the EW planner. And I think a lot of this is on the planning and capability side right now. But unless we have awareness of it, we're not going to get there.
So how can the wider EW community help you, and what's the best way for them to get in touch?
I have been sending out small queries to my colleagues in other countries asking if what they have on EW in the urban environment. And it's not very much, not even on the classified side. Right now, I'm in a search phase of my project here, and that is trying to get hold of as much input as possible. And it goes both on the military side, academic side, on the purely operational side, but also on the purely technical side of, for instance, 5G networks and wireless transmission in urban terrain. I think we have a lot of things that we can learn from telecom providers who actually deal with the urban terrain on a daily basis. But a way to get hold of me and provide input, if that is of interest to the listeners, is to send me an email at ebamford, that's one word, ebamford, at mil.no, which is the military email address I use.
I would also add to listeners, if they also wish to get in touch with you via Armada, that's also a possibility. We're happy to field any queries on your behalf, and people can just get onto the Armada website and contact us there. We'll make sure any queries get through to Eric as well. So Eric, listen, it's always a real pleasure to have you joining us on Radio Flash. Thanks very much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. It's always great fun to be here.
And don't forget, there's more electromagnetic news and analysis at armadainternational.com. That's all we've got time for. Thanks very much for listening.